Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Haves and Have-Yots Dispatches on the Ultra-Rich is a work of reported nonfiction by Evan Osnos, a New Yorker staff writer known for examining power, ambition, and social change. The book gathers and develops magazine journalism about the contemporary ultra-rich, especially in the United States, and treats extreme wealth not only as a matter of private luxury, but as a force that reshapes politics, culture, taxation, security, and social imagination. Osnos focuses on billionaires, financiers, technology fortunes, inherited dynasties, celebrity access, luxury vessels, survival preparations, and the legal structures that help wealth endure across generations. His purpose is not simply to catalog excess, but to show how concentrated resources alter public life and the expectations of those who possess them. The book combines investigative reporting, social observation, and dry humor, making inequality concrete through objects, behaviors, and institutions rather than through statistics alone. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, gigayaks as floating symbols of status, hierarchy, and withdrawal. One of the book's central images is the yacht, especially the gigayak, which Osnos treats as more than an expensive possession. It functions as a visible hierarchy of wealth size, design pedigree, shipyard reputation, crew, customization, and onboard amenities all become signals within a world where ordinary luxury no longer distinguishes anyone. A private jet may indicate mobility, but a vast yacht creates a portable estate, a staff domain, and a stage for competition among people who already possess nearly everything else. This makes the object useful as social evidence. It shows how status among the ultra-rich often depends on relative advantage rather than practical need. The yacht also represents distance from public life. It allows its owner to inhabit a controlled environment separated from shared infrastructure, civic contact, and ordinary constraints. Osnos uses this material culture to clarify a broader point: extreme wealth does not merely purchase comfort. It can create parallel spaces with their own customs, language, and forms of prestige. Secondly, extreme wealth is a direct force in democratic politics. Osnos connects the lifestyles of the ultra-rich to their political consequences, arguing that private fortunes now influence public decisions at a scale that earlier elites could not easily match. The book situates contemporary billionaires within a new gilded age shaped by finance, technology, favorable tax policy, deregulation, and inherited wealth. Campaign donations, lobbying, ideological projects, media influence, and policy entrepreneurship allow a small number of people to exert pressure far beyond normal civic participation. The importance of this theme is that inequality is not presented as a background condition. It becomes an operating mechanism within democracy. When a handful of donors can shape elections, regulatory debates, and public narratives, political equality becomes more difficult to sustain, even if formal voting rights remain intact. Osnos also emphasizes that elite influence is not uniform. Some wealthy figures advocate higher taxes or large-scale philanthropy, while others seek to preserve or expand their control. The common issue is the disproportionate leverage attached to wealth itself. Thirdly, tax structures and inherited fortunes as engines of dynastic advantage. A significant dimension of the book concerns the legal and financial systems that allow wealth to compound and move across generations. Osnos examines how the ultra-rich use trusts, estate planning, tax strategies, and specialized professional advice to protect assets from taxation and public accountability. This material can be technical, but its significance is social rather than merely procedural. The book shows that concentrated wealth is sustained not only by entrepreneurial success or market rewards, but also by a sophisticated infrastructure of lawyers, accountants, advisors, and policymakers. These arrangements make dynastic advantage appear routine and lawful, even when they deepen the distance between rich families and everyone else. The result is a weakening of social mobility. If large fortunes can grow while tax burdens fall more heavily elsewhere, the public revenue needed for education, infrastructure, health, and opportunity becomes politically contested. Osnos's interest lies in the moral and civic meaning of these mechanisms. They convert private accumulation into long-term structural power. Fourthly, survival bunkers and fortified living as signs of elite anxiety. The book's attention to doomsday preparations reveals a paradox at the center of extreme wealth. Those with the greatest resources often appear deeply fearful of social breakdown, political unrest, ecological disaster, or technological instability. Osnos discusses the ultra-rich interest in underground shelters, fortified compounds, supply stockpiles, private security, and other forms of catastrophe planning. These preparations are not only eccentric consumer choices. They express a worldview in which the future is imagined less as a collective problem than as an individual escape challenge. That distinction matters because it exposes how wealth can alter responsibility. Instead of investing confidence in public institutions or shared resilience, the survivalist elite may seek private exits from crises that would overwhelm ordinary people. The bunker, therefore, complements the yacht. Both are insulated spaces, but one represents leisure and status, while the other represents fear. Ah, Osnos uses this contrast to show that extreme privilege can produce alienation, as well as pleasure, control, as well as insecurity. Lastly, private access markets and the conversion of culture into elite service. Osnos also examines how wealth changes access to culture, celebrity, and social experience. Private concerts, exclusive parties, luxury events, and bespoke services show how public fame and shared cultural life can be redirected into private entertainment for those able to pay extraordinary sums. This topic matters because it extends the book beyond economics and politics into the sociology of everyday prestige. When artists, performers, advisors, security teams, designers, and event specialists become part of a private service economy, elite life gains a theatrical quality. It is curated, guarded, and tailored to confirm social rank. The broader implication is that common cultural reference points become less common. Experiences that once belonged mainly to public venues or mass audiences can be purchased as intimate status goods. Osnos's reporting does not require readers to condemn every transaction. Instead, it asks what happens when the richest citizens can repeatedly turn shared institutions, public figures, and cultural moments into private possessions. In conclusion, The Haves and Have-Yachts is best suited for readers interested in inequality, political economy, elite culture, campaign influence, tax policy, and the social psychology of wealth. It will also appeal to readers who prefer reported essays over abstract theory, because Osnos explains large structural changes through concrete scenes, yachts, bunkers, private performances, trusts, advisors, donors, and the rituals of a small class with enormous leverage. The practical benefit is a clearer understanding of how extreme wealth operates through institutions and habits rather than through income levels alone. Intellectually, the book helps readers connect spectacle to structure. The yacht is not merely an object, the bunker is not merely a curiosity, and tax avoidance is not merely a technical matter. Compared with many books on inequality, its distinctive strength is the combination of narrative access, cultural detail, and political analysis. It does not read like a policy brief, and it does not depend solely on outrage. Instead, it shows how the ultra-rich inhabit a separate social world while still shaping the common one. That tension gives the book its force and makes it a useful companion to more statistical or theoretical accounts of the new Gilded Age. If you would like to support Evan Osnos, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.